There is trouble in paradise. The government parties have fallen out with each other.
No, we're only a year and a half in government.
In
terms of this arrangement.
There's a constant charge against me, because he has no case against us when it comes to
5 to 9.
My charge against him is he's obsessed with innuendo and conspiracy theories.
There is something incredibly demoralising and abstract about this annual pantomime. Yeah,
we're in the Houses of Parliament on national television.
Hello and welcome to The Spin Room, live on RTE News Now on Twitter and the podcast up in a couple of hours. Tonight, our first spin on the third of the big TV debates in the Euro elections. We had the popcorn out, I can tell you, in The Spin Room for Midlands Northwest. Big personalities, big two candidate gambles for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil in a constituency so large it's been dubbed the Mallon 50. Joining us, political analyst Oddrun Flynn, political commentator, and from Carr Communications, Johnny Fallon, Sheila Riley, head of digital with Iconic News, which publishes 19 titles across the Midlands Northwest constituency, and RTE political correspondent Micheál Lehane is our only Kerry representative here in the Spin Room. I don't know which of you are early risers or good kissers, but we had some good lines tonight, didn't we, Sheila? What did you make of it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's surely the best line of the debates, of any of the debates from Matt Carthy tonight. We actually were so taken by the line, we nearly forgot the context that he made it in. And I think it was in relation to corporation tax, which who would have thought? There was a couple of good strong lines there as well. Saoirse McHugh came out with a few as well, including the telling Peter Casey to go on Dancing with the Stars, which, again, will stand out there. Yeah, I mean, there's a good few standout moments. Good, robust debate, probably the most robust of the three so far. You kind of seen some natural attacking there of Peter Casey. I thought Brendan Smith did well there in that regard, and Dominic Hannigan took him on as well, but Saoirse McHugh took him on a good few times, and it was good to see that kind of that interaction. I thought that was a good part of it for sure.
You were saying beforehand, Oddrun, Peter Casey had to make a noise or go home. Did he make a noise? At one stage you had nearly the whole of the panel against Peter Casey.
Yeah, the only thing he nearly did was actually smack Brendan Smith across the face, and he kept on waving his arms around him. No, he didn't. He didn't come out with the moment like he did in the presidential election. He almost felt tonight that he had run out of steam on the whole thing. That it's almost like he became bored with himself at one point, and he wasn't making any real noises of any consequence. He was coming up with some ridiculous stuff, talking about the number of people come through Dublin Airport, and there was something like 4 million people more in the country, yeah, 200 years ago than there is now. And he was talking about immigration and he was contradicting himself. I don't really know where he's going. It doesn't mean to say, though, that that rules him out.
And David McCullough was making this point. Yeah. I mean, it's an argument, and, you know, shouldn't some of these arguments be addressed?
Because the same arguments he was making are basically the same arguments he made for the presidential during the presidential election campaign. And he got 23% of the vote. And in this, what makes up this constituency, in five of the individual Dáil constituencies, he got over 30% of the vote. So if he was to get sort of even half of that, and you couldn't rule that out, because the Casey voters, in many cases, an opinion polls that we saw during the presidential election, were understated, and therefore he could come up with a surprise in the terms of the percentage of the vote he got. If you're just judging him on what he did tonight there, you'd say he hasn't a prayer.
Johnny Fallon, your take on the debate.
Yeah, I think it was interesting from the point of view that probably much as you would expect going into it, we probably saw coming out of it. I mean, there are some very good debaters there. I mean, Mary McGuinness, we know Mary McGuinness is an accomplished communicator, and I thought she came across as that. Herself and Luke Ming Flanagan, again, who's a strong orator, two of them for me absolutely were able to come out of that showing themselves as strong, confident, capable, on top of issues. They got very quickly to, these are the facts I want to get across, and then got them across. They stuck to what they messaged they wanted to get out. But just behind them, I would say Matt Carthy and Brendan Smith were the other two then that managed to hold their own within it. You know, few good points, few bad points for them, but they held their own. And those four were the standouts that kind of rose above it. After that, you had Peter Casey making a lot of noise. The problem for Peter Casey is that in that type of candidate he tries to be or has said he is in the past, it comes about of saying the thing that we're all thinking, you know, that great comment people make. Unfortunately for Peter Casey, though, he wasn't willing to go all the way when he did. He threw himself half in, but not all in. So he ended up saying things like, you know, no, what we really need is a discussion. You know, were we in Brexit or out of Brexit? We need a discussion about what we're having.
So, or we need to get the same deal as the UK.
And it was in and out. And the thing about it is, if you're going to end up with, if you're Peter Casey, what's his selling point? I'm a businessman. I'm strong. I'm decisive. I'm all those things. That's what Peter Casey should be going on. A discussion is not what you expect from a businessman out of it. You expect a decision. So he really went against everything that he's supposed to stand for and ended up in, I'm just more grey in the middle of, I'll come down on either side of an argument, I'll just tell everybody, if we could have more chat about the issues, it'd be better. And people don't go for chat, they go for go all in or don't go in at all.
Yeah, I
do one or the other.
I agree with you there. I think he kind of bottled it in that regard.
Yeah.
You know, that this
maybe
was
because
his
they were
chance.
Getting into detail, because it was actually good, because we were moving from, you know, the EU position, are we taking our fair share, the way we treat people in direct provision, and a lesson on social welfare from Luke Ming as well.
Well, this is it, and you see, it could have been the detail as well that possibly swamped him. But I do think that this was his opportunity to make his mark tonight, and he didn't do that. And I think that part of it was that he just bottled it. He just couldn't go, as Johnny says, all the way the place that he needed to go. Where he did the last time around in the presidential election, where he struck that chord with people, like it or not, and what in relation to his remarks about the travellers, you know, and that did strike a chord with people, and he ended up getting over the guts of 120,000 votes in this constituency that we were talking about alone, you know. So he did strike a chord that time. He just hasn't done that this time. He didn't do it tonight.
It's a move. Look, at you know, you come from the likes of the presidency, which is very much a wishy-washy kind of election because of its nature. This was more like going from junior hurling to intermediate hurling, and he still got found out, and he's never actually been at the senior hurling level yet. So
I don't think he knows the detail of the issues at all. He just doesn't bother.
We'll see how that travels with voters on Friday. It was interesting, Micheál Hahn, you were reporting today, Brexit very much back on the agenda. Theresa May's got this plan, although nobody seems to think she's got much of a chance with getting this one through either. The tarnished a warning about no deal Brexit being, you know, a greater risk than we've seen in the past couple of years. And Brexit, the subject they kicked off on in this debate.
Yeah, and Brexit is back today. Somehow, for some extraordinary reason, it hasn't really featured in the midst of this debate so far. Perhaps that's to do with the politeness at the doorstep and an inevitable fatigue that built up within people because it had dominated the national debate for so long. But it's back now, and it obviously is going to come back into the thinking when people decide to vote on Friday. And you saw the different approaches to it there, and you saw a great deal of humility, it must be said, from Luke Ming Flanagan, saying the politicians have to admit when they get things wrong, and that he did get it wrong when suggesting that Brexit would be a good thing. Peter Casey still saying somewhere in the middle that you can have a discussion around it, and much finger wagging from Brendan Smith and Mairead McGuinness on that point. But Brexit is key. It's back in the thinking, and it'll be interesting to see in the last day of full campaigning how that impacts the final canvasses by candidates.
And it was interesting, wasn't it, to compare and contrast Luke Ming Flanagan's the way that he dealt with the whole Brexit issue and the way that he spoke about how, you know, yes, he'd gotten it wrong in the past, but also what he's for now and what he's against. And again, I suppose it was an example of that experience of being an MEP telling.
It is. It's experience, and it's experience of just being knowing exactly what you're doing within, particularly in debates. I mean, the crucial thing when you're going in there is not to get sideswiped into defending something, not to get sideswiped into other people's agenda. But if you're there, what is your point? And he very quickly moved from, you know, that's what was wrong, to what I now believe can happen, I now want to see. Mm. And he's very quick to do that all the time and everything. And that's the mark of a good debate. You saw the same with Mairead McGuinness.
Well, did we see the best pivot? I mean, it's a lesson, isn't it? I think this is one of the things. It was a moment, wasn't it? Well, Aldrin, tell us about that moment when she was asked about Brian, challenged about by Luke Ming about what Brian Hayes. And she just, it was just so classic. I'm not going to address it. I'm not Brian Hayes.
No, I'm not Brian Hayes. And, you know, and last night, Frances Fitzgerald made the mistake of trying to address something she should have ignored. But that's why.
On the housing, yeah.
Yeah, Mairead McGuinness, I mean, is by some distance, I believe, there tonight, was the best performer because she's the most experienced. And for Ireland's sake, it's at one level, you have to say, given that Brexit is now very much back on the agenda and how well she handled Channel 4 News, how well she handled BBC over many, many weeks and days during the whole Brexit issue, what, 2 months ago now, whatever it is, you know. And you can see you know, what maybe whether it was a good thing to say or not when she said if she was chairing a debate in the European Parliament, she would basically take a mallet and hit it and suggest she might actually not just hit the gavel with it, she'll actually hit maybe Peter Casey on the head with it. No, but you can see the experience and by a distance. And, you know, it comes with A, ability and knowledge, also being as certain as a politician can be that you're going to win an election.
And that's the question for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael here, because we were seeing the candidates in the debates, but we're also seeing the playing out. We saw the clips of the two candidates' strategy for each of these parties. Sheila, what do you make of the two candidates' strategy, the way Fine Gael is playing it and the way Mairéadh is likely, how she's likely to cooperate with the vote splitting strategy?
Yes, indeed. And I mean, we're seeing it now because it's getting hot and heavy for Fine Gael, because they sniffed the second seat and they think that they could be in with a chance that Maria Walsh would come in and take that fourth seat in this constituency. And that would have been, the polls last weekend would have indicated that. But the difficulty for Mairéadh, she's not going to want to give up that much territory. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Like we heard yesterday or today that Kildare was going over to Maria Walsh, but I'm reliably informed there was large posters of Mairéadh McGuinness dotted around Kildare this morning.
Vote McGuinness number one, Maria Walsh number two.
In Kildare?
Oh, I'm 300 metres from my house.
And not exactly small either.
Oh no, the very large ones that are standing as opposed to on poles, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So that's how you're seeing the manifestation of that playing out. The
Kildare thing is interesting. And why Kildare, I think, is that Kildare, of all of the counties or constituencies in Leinster, outside of Dublin obviously, had the highest yes vote to same-sex marriage, the highest yes vote to the abortion last year. And that plays to Maria Walsh's strengths. And that's why they put her in there, in my belief, to pick up a fairly strong vote for Maria Walsh in that constituency of the two Kildare constituencies. And I think it's actually a very shrewd move, because if the polls are anyway right, as they were from last weekend, I think if they manage the vote, I think there's a very real chance of Maria Walsh getting elected. And quite possibly, ironically, on Anne Roberts' transfers. Because
of the geography.
Vote, the geography. I mean,
this is the point you were making earlier. And, you know, we talk about the two. So Anne Rabbit and Brendan Smith for Fianna Fáil and Maria Casey and Mairéadh McGuinness for Fine Gael. That's grand if you're just looking at party loyalty. But there's also geography. You say votes don't cross the Shannon.
I mean, if you go back, Johnny, remember back in 2002 when it was Longford Roscommon. Mm. And May Sexton and Peter Kelly got elected on Louis Belton's vote. 6,000 votes, 2,000 didn't transfer, and all but 300 stayed in Longford. Only 300 crossed the Shannon into Roscommon.
And they're still looking for them.
The two Fianna Fáil candidates were end up separated by a vote, and only one of them got elected.
By the way, I said Maria Casey, Maria Watt. I apologise.
And
yes,
it won't cross the Shannon. And there is, and given, remember, Leigh Shoffley are no longer in this constituency. They have moved out. So there's even a smaller Leinster vote than there was the last time.
And talk to me about geography and the two candidate strategy, and particularly the risk for Fianna Fáil and the two candidate strategy this time around, given that they got it wrong the last time.
Yeah, they got it wrong with Thomas Byrne and Patrick Cope Gallagher the last time. And I mean, the real fear within Fianna Fáil and kind of disbelief in some circles how they possibly are in the same situation again. And what I detect from the party within the last 24 hours, although it won't be admitted publicly, there are some around Leinster House just beginning to kind of quietly walk away from the scene of this. There's certainly no great indications or a private poll that would suggest that things are better for Fianna Fáil on the ground than something that we can't see. That's not the case. The momentum and the story about Maria Walsh certainly seems to be gaining more traction all the time. And it's a huge one for Fine Gael, because if you look last night when Fine Gael scaled back their targets on the local elections, and that mantle of trying to become the biggest party in local government perhaps will remain with Fianna Fáil if Maria Walsh were to get elected at the expense of Brendan Smith or Anne Rabbit. Well, then that would become the bigger story on the Sunday, and it would be a big gain for Leo Varadkar.
Yeah, and a big loss for Fianna Fáil, like particularly in the constituency that you're talking about, because if you look at the figures, they should have enough to get a candidate across the line.
And the reality is that they're struggling because they've gone down.
So it would be bad strategy and people would be looking around for
absolutely.
Somebody to blame and they'd
so look they
at
should.
The leader.
And so they should because, I mean, you're repeating the exact same mistake it was repeated the last time. I mean, it seems, it beggars belief. And I know on the ground there's been people asking the question about this from day one as to how this was the strategy and how this kind of came to pass.
And sure. arguably with weaker candidates than they had the last
yes,
time.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Weaker, and I think they also felt, you know, look, at the problem with this when they look at it, think it's a massive constituency and how do you get votes over there and get votes over there, and then they usually come up with this argument of, well, look, we'll have a candidate over there, they'll pick up those votes, and they go, and that very rarely actually pans out because the votes tend to leak rather than stay with the party. Person feels, well, I'll vote for the, say, Fianna Fáil candidate in Galway, in my kind of side of
my
the constituency
area.
And then I'm done. And then the vote leaks and the number two, rather than saying if you didn't have the candidate there, they stick with the party, so my loyalty must go. But unfortunately, they do this thing of getting sweeper candidates. I think Fianna Fáil also felt or thought, and this is the only thing, at this stage, what do you do in a campaign? And it's quite simple for Fianna Fáil. They need to get the message out. They need to get the message out through Anne Rabbitt. They need to get the message out through her supporters at Guy's. The deal here is Anne Rabbitt was running as an additional candidate. We never had a hope of two seats. That vote has to come back to Brendan Smith. And they have to hope now that what they're getting is a strong on the ground through their own organisation and party idea out. Guys, we're in trouble here unless that transfer is absolutely solid and it cannot afford to leak. And that unfortunately requires some hard talking where Anne Rabbitt has to pull back and start saying the important thing here is the number two vote.
Anybody but she's been talking about the unfairness of the situation.
Exactly.
In the party.
And that I think was not expected for foolishly not expected because you put someone like Anne Rabbitt up who's a competitive, strong politician in her own right. She's going to give it her best shot. But I think they thought she might be happy enough to be a sweeper, get a bit of profile and then hopefully transfer over. And the risk of that is you end up with neither. It's what happened to them the last time. So for Fianna Fáil, we'll have to do now at this stage is go and say, who is the candidate we think most likely to get elected? They're probably going to opt that that's Brendan Smith simply because of his own position and geography and vote loyalty in that area. And then hope to say to the Fianna Fáil voters and organisation that are following Anne Rabbitt, it's about the number twos and they have to get that
and
right.
I think that push went out last weekend. Certainly there was a massive push, I think, on the ground in terms of trying to focus minds that Brendan was the candidate. I was at the Cavan Monaghan match on Saturday and it was like wall-to-wall Fianna Fáil there. They had a huge presence at the game. Now, obviously, that's home territory for Brendan Smith. Of course, he would be there. But, you know, the show of force was phenomenal. And at that stage, people were telling me that there's just been like thousands of texts that gone out literally that day, kind of rallying
the
troops.
The force needs to be on the other side of the Shannon. The force needs to be in Galway. I mean, Cavan Monaghan should be a given for him.
And indeed, Anne Rabbitt could end up with the sympathy vote for a lot of people in her own area.
Couldn't she, as a result?
There'd be a lot of questions when it all plays out, including what things might, you know, if it all comes off for Brendan Smith, then there'll be cheers and celebrations. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, there'll be lots of people asking an awful lot of
questions.
Tommy
Hall Martin's description yesterday evening when he was talking about Brendan Smith and trying to say the campaign was alive and well. He said Brendan Smith is a decent candidate. As a word, if you were to pick at this moment of crisis, it didn't seem to be quite as effusive enough. You know,
I think telling a minister he's been very courageous.
Matt Carthy has made no secret of the fact that he'd be running for the Dáil if, even if he gets elected as an MEP. Will that have an impact on his vote?
I think, not huge. I think to some degree. I mean, it was interesting watching the debate tonight because, you know, again, as I said at the outset, you had some really good debaters. Then you probably had, you know, people like Matt and Brendan coming in. Matt's a strong enough debater and speaker. He tends to accelerate far too quickly to the high-pitched, high passion and is not able to keep it back at the calm level that you need to build gradually. And that sometimes detracts from his message. And I think, though, tonight he had performed really, really strong. The only time I felt he seemed under pressure and in difficulty was on that question, and he just didn't seem to have an answer properly formulated for how he was going to deal with that, which is surprising as it was an obvious question. On the other hand, though, I'm not quite sure. Voting, you know, people are not the type to actually start thinking about, you know, oh, well, that's going, he's going to be out of this. Some will, but very few. I think he's relying to get elected on, he has an entire constituency where there is a Sinn Féin vote across multiple constituencies.
And Sinn Féin relying on him to deliver. I mean, they really need results in this election,
they do.
Don't they?
They need to get him across the line. They absolutely do. And, you know, in this constituency, he's been one of their kind of leading lights, and it's one of those kind of... He's
is he their safest bet, do you think, across the three constituencies?
They would hope so. He has to be. We again, look at the competition. Where is he going to lose out to? And you would struggle to see where, with the organisation Sinn Féin can bring, with the solid party okay. vote, it's going to be a struggle to see how he would lose out in that.
Yeah, it's a case where the European elections will probably mask... maybe more difficulties at the local level. Looking at the polling data, you would suggest Fine Gael will lose council seats. But again, if they held all their MEPs, well, then that would be regarded as quite a decent day for Mary Lou MacDonald.
We had Saoirse McHugh and Cyril Brennan. What did you make of their performances, Sheila?
I thought Saoirse McHugh did very well, actually. Her answers were short and succinct. She probably didn't develop her points enough. But at the same time, I thought she made a mark when she did speak. She, as I said earlier, wasn't afraid to take on Peter Casey. You know, she came across as kind of gutsy. I certainly don't think she did herself any harm there, and possibly could have, you know, maybe put herself in the mind of particularly younger voters who might be.
Yeah. I love the
more
line
inclined.
Of going from Trocara boxes yeah, to Apple taxes. That was
a
big, some connection.
Yeah, that was a good
it?
Connection there. Yeah, Cyril Brennan as well was quite a confident performer too. I thought he did quite well. He didn't shirk from the questions he was asked. To be honest,
although dismantling on the border
yeah, that
in
was a bit,
peaceful
yeah,
protest,
where was that going?
Bit,
yeah, that got a bit messy. But no, I thought she did particularly well. I kind of was surprised that there wasn't more discussion in relation to the climate issue, particularly for the constituency that we're talking about, where, you know, Bord na Mona and what's happening there is a major issue in the Midlands area anyway. And you're seeing kind of the tangible reality of climate
Absolutely.
Change
it's
coming
the front
to
line,
pass.
Isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
yeah.
So I was surprised that didn't develop more.
Dominic Hannigan, defending Labour's record in government, was that a mistake? Is he again, Labour's talking about they're coming back in this election. You know, the voters have forgiven them for the austerity years in government.
Well, 3 years' time will tell us that. I suspect the answer to that question is absolutely not forgiven. Fine Gael still haven't been forgiven. They've done a lot better coming back from the obviously from where they were in 2011. But they recovered quite quickly in 2014 for the locals, you know, and got from 17% up to 25%. But they also got 25% in the last general election. So it's whatever about Labour and Dominic Hannigan, Fianna Fáil have an issue here because they have to push beyond 25%. They can't afford three elections in a row at 25%. Mm-hmm. They can't afford that. And that's the problem. You know, and it's a problem for Micheál Martin because, as we know, obviously, you know, and the timing of the next general election, which is whatever, next year, probably maybe much less than that. But the reality is, unless there becomes a clear gap, and there was a clear gap at least on the polls 2-3 months ago, clearly there isn't one now, and in fact we will see at the end of the week if there's a real one as opposed to an opinion poll. At that point in time, Micheál and Leo have both got to make decisions. You know, what do they do? How long do they sit for? Do they wait? So Micheál doesn't want to be the first Fianna Fáil leader, not become Taoiseach. But from Leo's also got a serious issue here coming down the road. Because when he was elected 2 years ago as leader of Fine Gael, over the three different sort of stages of the election, I mean, there was the councillors mm-hmm. and there was the parliamentary party who both voted 2-1 in his favour. But the members voted 2-1 for Simon Coveney. So... Right. So,
see, it's a summer election, but winter is coming.
Winter
I feel it
coming.
In my bones.
So,
winter
so
is coming.
In that case, if he doesn't deliver for the councillors and the parliamentary party, the members will be very upset. And that could put pressure on him. Now, may that drive him into an election? I don't know.
There's a whole weekend of speculation to come as we get all these results coming in. Final verdict from you all then. 4 front runners going in. Impressions coming out, Micheál?
Yeah, I think unquestionably Maureen McGuinness did well there. Luke Mean-Flanagan as well showed a lot of composure and perhaps maturity during his time away that he has developed as a candidate. Brendan Smith did enough, he did fine, but he did have to speak way back about legacy issues, particularly that famous cheese press release back in the day as well. I think Matt Carty as well looked solid throughout. Is there enough there? And that was be the big question that people were asking in Leinster House tonight for Peter Casey to get into the reckoning or for Brendan Smith to try and win that seat. I don't think the debate answers that question in any meaningful way.
Sheila, you're nodding there, yeah?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with all that. I thought, outside of the four that Micheál's mentioned there, I did think Saoirse McHugh kind of was good in terms of, you know, what she brought to the party, if you like. And I definitely think that Peter Casey just failed to make the impact that he needed to make tonight.
Johnny?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you were looking at it tonight, you would look and say there's four candidates, there's your four seats in it. Now, I know there's other variations with transfers and whatever on the other candidates and party votes that will play into that, but they were certainly the four that came out of it. I think for the other candidates that are there, there was a lot of people from, I think, Saoirse, you know, a little bit of inexperience came across, but she'll have done herself no harm. It's for the future. The same for Cyril Brennan. I think people like that, they made it an opportunity to try and get some attention for themselves. Peter Casey, look, I think, yeah, there was some attention seeking and trying to put on. I think the mood is gone. I think what people forget sometimes with Peter Casey is there was a mood, and, you know, it's unpopular to say, but it was as much about a certain vote being against the consensus of Michael D. Higgins at the presidency as it was about Peter Casey and the issues he rose. And I think that's come out true. So look, as regards the speakers tonight, I think it was about who got their message across. I think there were four who managed to do that and the others were just not at the races.
Okay, you the fourth all in agreement? Consensus, yeah, around the table tonight?
I am. The only thing I would say is maybe the winner as well outside of that is actually Maria Walsh, who actually has put herself, particularly as Casey, may well have talked to herself out of it. And let's not forget that all of the women who will get a significant vote in this, all bar Mairead McGuinness, are from the West.
There's something. See, something I never knew when this all started off. Thanks, all of you, for joining us. Othrin Flynn, Johnny Fallon, Sheila Riley and our own Micheál Lehane. Thanks to you for listening. To Jack Good for putting it all together. Dave Gibson on sound. It's going to be a fascinating weekend. So good luck, go vote and slán.